Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the April 11th, 2016 Finance and Facility Committee meeting. Mr. Cooper, any public comment this evening?
Short one, yes.
Okay.
You had sent me back answers to a bunch of questions that I had sent to the two groups or so.
Okay.
And a number of them I won't go over tonight, but I think that I need a clarification on that.
Okay.
But that's something we can do.
That sounds good.
But there was one subject matter here that I'm going to just touch on real briefly, and we're going to talk more and more about this if it keeps going on. So, I saw the file that you sent me about from the ISBD, translating all that stuff. So
Well,
it really didn't go into what my thoughts were about spending public dollars on babysitters and on private, on anti-assimilating evenings. I guess that's probably the simplest way to call it. You know, to me, if we were doing something to teach people that speak Spanish as a first language, to, you know, help them out in their quest to, you know, learn English and so on, that might be a different thought process. But if we're doing a Spanish book club, which is talking about book learning, it's about books in Spanish, and it's for parents, not kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's got nothing to do with what you had said. We're not trying to, you know, help out.
Okay, so maybe I misunderstood. I thought the translation piece.
That was part of
it. I see what you're saying.
But so I guess basically my thought process is that there should not be any money spent on this Escobar Hernandez for any non-essential parts of something that was Title 1, 2, 3 through Title 28, you know, whatever. And there absolutely should be, you know, I heard the word culture once or twice. The only culture, to me, that really needs to have public dollars spent on it would be the culture that existed when my ancestors came here and when most of our other ancestors came here. And the world that I live in will probably never see what went on in the 50s, 60s, and so on before that, assimilating-wise. But we can't spend public dollars on Hispanic book clubs and giving them babysitters and all that kind of stuff. That's wrong in 25 different ways. So that's my comments for tonight.
Okay, thank you. Review and approval of minutes from March 21st, 2016. Everybody good with the minutes?
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Kurt, you okay with them?
I am.
Thank you. All right, so the minutes are approved. We'll start off with Lori.
Okay.
Staffing update.
Okay. Almost there.
Almost there.
After tonight. So these are the areas we talked about. I'm going to talk about coaches and specialists and administration this evening and saving our music PE and flex for our next meeting. Okay, so we are not recommending any changes to our instructional coaching or specialist positions for next year. And I did just put a list of the positions that we have and how they're distributed here up on the board so you can see them as a review. Again, math coaches, we have one per school. Literacy coaches, one per school. Four problem-based learning coaches, one is a hazard, three split between the elementaries. We do have one bilingual coach, interventionist at Churchill, and that is grant-funded and has been for a number of years. Four digital literacy specialists, those are the people that work in the library. One library media specialist, again, slightly different title at Hadley than at the elementary. The elementary has shifted focus to more of the technology piece with their work, again, getting that inclusion in there. Library media specialist at Hadley does still focus heavily on technology. There are some pieces in school code with the title and the endorsement, so we have to keep one person with library media specialist. And then one behavior specialist that we brought in last year that serves all five schools. So helping out with children in crisis, special education teams, social workers, psychologists, and medical students. Okay, so no recommendations for changes for next year. In terms of administration, again, I just ran through what we have from an administrative team standpoint across the district. One superintendent, three assistant stoops, four elementary principals, four elementary assistant principals, a middle school principal, two middle school assistant principals, four district directors. We have one for bilingual ESL Flex, for student services and for technology and building safe grounds. We had one assistant director who worked with Mike with technology, a database administrator, again, who works within Mike's department, and then Erica, who is our chief communication officer. We are not making recommendations for any changes for the staffing for next year. So, again, no changes. We use our HR and finance system to establish that draft plan, and we're not recommending any additions for next year.
Questions?
This is the last one.
And I think we've got all of it, unless there are other areas that the committee would like to present on. All right. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Ms. Allard, special education transportation bid. Where would you like to start here?
I'm very excited to talk about this case and its seven-member school districts bid special education transportation services this year because we were having some difficulties with the current provider, which is Septrans. Septrans was bought out in November by National Express is the name. It's actually an international company.
Yeah.
It typically runs buses in this area under the name of Durham. You may have seen those school buses in the area. First time I saw Durham on the side of a school bus, I wondered why North Carolina bus is the name of the company. And they chose not to change the name from Septran to Durham or another name for special ed until such time that they were able to make the transition. I think when National Express bought the business, they weren't. The Septran was in worse condition than they thought. We have seen slight improvements since November.
Worse financial condition?
Yeah. And operational. And operational.
Because it's bad.
It has been again, but we saw some improvements towards the end of the year, and they have made a commitment. We met with the representatives from National Express, i.e. Septran, multiple times as case districts. And I actually almost felt sorry for the gentleman that was there because we grilled him pretty badly about service and what could we expect and our hesitancy to even consider them. But the problem, the difficulty is, we received one bid from Hopewell Services, which is a very small company, for transportation services that are outside the case borders. So when you look at all of our geographic areas for District 41, 15, 16, I probably could say 87 covered there.
Yep.
Those are considered in-district transportation, so outside those borders. It's a limited number of students that can transport it from all of the districts.
It's really the private placement students that Hopewell will be.
Right, for those services. and they only bid that out-of-district transportation. Subtran bid both in-district and out-of-district special ed services. Septran actually was relieved that there was another bidder for the out-of-district transportation and felt like it took a little bit of pressure off of them for service. I think Septran truly understands that we will all have an evil eye on them for the start of school, and if it doesn't run smoothly at the start of school, that we will give them notice immediately. Now, as you read the new contracts that are in front of you tonight, you'll see that we would be obligated to them for the entire school year. But it's a matter of the district managing with Septran to make sure that those services are delivered up to our expectations.
And a question regarding that: I mean, if you have no one else bid, how much?
You have no leverage.
You have none.
I had the same thing. So my thought, I agree with Joe. Can we build in penalties, financial penalties, but if they don't meet certain criteria for certain levels of service that we outline with them, that they then have a financial impact where they owe us money back? Because to me, we have no leverage otherwise, because the reason their service stinks is because there's no competition. And
the thing is, Kurt, and I agree with that, but here we are. What leverage do we have in the negotiation?
Well, when you did it as a
cooperative.
Right,
well, I understand.
Transportation is a complex issue, and when we bid it as a separate member school district cooperative, each one of us has our uniqueness, and each one of us will manage that contract differently. And I think that SEPTRAN is committed and would like to demonstrate that to not only our districts, but to surrounding school districts who currently use SEPTRAN, that they can improve their services, because it's widely known that they have done a miserable job on behalf of the school districts in the past year.
Did we not get other bids because we went in as a consortium and it was too large?
No, because they were able to bid us individually still. They were able to pick us individually. There's not a great number of busing companies who do special education, especially in this area.
Why no one did.
Well, there are smaller companies who that is just their niche. They couldn't handle the cooperative.
Yep.
So I think had we done that earlier.
Yeah, that's back to this question.
Well, and I think if we had bid this and were ready to award it last November, that you would have had several school districts say thanks but no thanks and probably go out on their own. You'll notice that one of the districts, case districts, did pull out.
Who are they using?
They're using, I want to say Cook.
Cook, Illinois,
yeah.
And for special ed and Illinois Central for regular ed.
Yeah, which they did not give us a bid. None of the other ones.
The one that Mark Ward wasn't really thrilled with on their
Mark Ward really could not stand Cook. They could not wait to get away from them. So there's, quite honestly, there's limited number of special education transportation companies in this area. Well,
do we have a sense if we didn't have a bid on our own by itself, but if we were aware of
I don't think that would be almost impossible. We'd have to go out and bid it to determine that.
Well, I think as a precaution going forward for ourselves, to get somebody to bid something when they know they don't have a job is often impossible right there. Even if they think they have a job, sometimes it's time. But, I mean, we have to be proactive to the problems that may occur in the future based on past performance by SEPTRAN. So somehow we have to, in the next, whatever, if it's September or November, whatever the date is, get a sense of what's out there as other companies who can handle our level of services needed in special ed. If one could bid it, it'd be great. You'd have it in your pocket to know for the following year. Mm-hmm. And you could present to the board that, hey, you know, what's our percentage? For, I mean, our percentage, our total is 501,000, is that whatever.
For SEPTRAN.
You know, that it's going to be $585,000. Mm-hmm. Is that $84,000 difference enough for the service? You know, or whatever. It's maybe exactly the same number at the end of the day. But I think we have to be proactive because we know we've had problems in the past. It's not necessarily an insurance policy, but at least you're doing your due diligence. And that's what I would recommend.
Okay.
But are we signing a 3-year contract?
A cancellation clause in there.
Yeah, there was a clause after the year.
Yeah.
Well, actually, 90 days, which is too late to really. My recommendation to Cheryl Whitcomb and to Dr. Gordon is that if the beginning of the school year doesn't go right, first of all, as soon as we sign the contracts, if the board signs the contracts on April 25th, immediately schedule a meeting with both SEPTRAN and Hopewell. To set expectations and then hold their feet to the fire. And it's going to take a little bit more time from the special ed department upstairs to make sure that that contract is managed well. And if service isn't to our expectations, give them notice by November 1st. Give them notice by October 1st if it's a really bad start at school. And immediately develop those business specifications. because District 93 bid their both regular and special ed transportation services on their own, I asked David Hill, the Assistant Superintendent for Finance, for a copy of his bid spec, so I am leaving those behind, so that all you really have to do is change the names and supply the document that pertain to us, and you'll be ready to get it. So I think we've done some preparation up front in case that catastrophe happens, and I hope it doesn't. I really hope that Subtran delivers, and I hope that Hopewell is able to deliver on what they promised within their bid spec.
And the problem with Hopewell taking us over, they're just too small. They only use, to say it's a minivan, I don't think it does their vans justice, but I think it gives a paints a good picture of what they're using. It's too small for even our special ed transportation. You guys will see every once in a while the SEPTRAN buses. They're not the big 45, you know, seat buses, but kind of that mid-range, or they use the Suburban, those pieces, and that's just not what Hopewell is. They're a small company who's trying to expand to the west. They do a lot of high schools in that right outside of the Chicago area, and they transport same group of students, the out-of-district students, to private placement. So that's been their niche, but they're trying to grow their niche into our areas. But they just don't have the necessary vehicles to do what we need them to do at this point.
And their references as far as
outstanding. Hopewell's
outstanding.
They should probably stick with their niche.
Well, and one of my concerns was that their most of the client list was high school districts, and they do one unit district, Crete Mooney, and so I called their special ed department, I called their business manager, and asked two separate people, and they said the service from Hopewell is just amazing, from your pre-K student to your high school students. That's good.
Yeah, we wish we could merge the two.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite honestly, we'd have a really good organization.
So what's the rationalization of a 28% increase in crappy service?
Wages to make sure that they can have a stable driving force. And I just think that the new corporation, National Express, has a level of benefits, and it all comes down to salaries and benefits. Because they certainly have the equipment in the area.
Yeah. Well, and I could probably buy that a little bit because, like we talked about last time, it's your wages aren't great as a bus driver.
Right.
They have a lot of regulation on it. There's a lot of responsibility. Because the economy maybe gets better, employment comes down a little bit.
Right. It's harder to get bus drivers. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I've always said that a bus driver has one of the most difficult jobs in a school district because they're not only driving that big heavy vehicle, they probably got 60 kids in the back, and most of the time there's no supervision on that bus other than the eyes that you have in the back.
And they're trying to build a bus.
Right.
Yeah.
So Carol,
I certainly couldn't do it.
Carol Stream is going with the hook. Who's Carol Stream going with?
And if I'm wrong, I will correct myself. I think they're going with Cook, Illinois for special ed, and Illinois Central for regular ed. So the way that their bid specifications were written, they had the ability to award it to one company or to award it to two separate companies for the type of service.
Well, one thing we can certainly do is we can certainly, if they don't meet the expectation, staff can certainly go to the news media as well and say, look, you know, this is a special ed area. You know, here's the predicament, and here's the service, and publicly humiliate them if they don't. You know, that is an option.
We threaten that. they know the extremes that we will go to if we have bad service again this year.
I just want to put a public record. Heard it. So, because I know everybody that I've talked to that's used them, it's just tough. It's tough on the parents.
It's horrible.
They're terrible. They don't return calls. You can't get a hold of them. You're trying to tell them, hey, you don't need to pick them up, or I'm going to pick them up after school.
Right.
So that, then they show up and they're calling them. It's not good. So
it's not. So it's a lot of the work that Becky talked about, doing a lot of pre-work with them. A lot of expectation settings, and these are the things that we're going to do. These are the things that we expect you to do. But it's tough when you get one bid at the end of the day.
No, it's true.
At the end of the day, at least there's a new company.
Yeah.
They put an investment in it. There's a, hopefully a lay down that that says, hey, they're willing to buy it, try it, but, you know, it's out of our control.
It is. Because we did struggle with SEPTRAN out of district, too. It is a little bit of a ray of hope that at least we have that one piece from all references and they can handle this well. And our other piece is another company coming in and purchasing SEPTRAN. Hopefully they change over that culture, that organization. And it really comes down to their, as Carolyn knows, their scheduler. They've got to hire a great scheduler. If they don't do that,
where it all begins and ends.
And it's very true with our regular.
Yep.
Ed. If they don't get a great scheduler, it's going to be tough from the get-go.
I think that's the complaints I hear. Is it's the phone into their central office is the problem. It's not necessarily the drivers.
So. Well, they were so short. Drivers, their operational staff was leaving the main base and driving. Number one, you can't pick up the phone when you talk. Why do you drive the school bus? It's against school code. So,
maybe with some more money.
Right. Yeah, we're hopeful.
We're certainly doing our portion.
Yes. Yeah, the co-op is doing their portion.
Right. I think we had one of the smallest increases.
Yeah.
The member district. So.
Other questions for special ed transportation for Becky? Karen, math, and then she'll just transition right into literacy curriculum costs.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight on all that background information and that because at the next meeting, teachers and coaches will be here and they'll kind of talk more about the work that was done. I'll also include for you the PowerPoints we used when we met with the field testers and things like that. So I kind of want to focus on the cost page, if that's okay, unless you have any specific questions about the background information that you want me to be able to address, and we've got people here.
I have one question.
Yes.
This with the font. This is on page 3 of your writing.
For math?
Yeah, 6. We just talked about you because Eureka, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will provide formative, summative assessments in math and then support students in preparing them for the state of Park. Park's down to 5 states now. In the last month, in the next 20 years, perhaps. What if it's not Park? And what would it most likely be? And would you read the support back?
So, I mean, Eureka's grounded in the Common Core standards, so no matter what that assessment, if it's assessing those new standards, it should be okay. So the other part, it was Smarter Balance was the other kind of group that aligns with PARC. Some of the articles that are out, you know, I have to go back and look at who wrote them, but people felt like PARC ended up being a stronger test. Some states have left both, and they're now creating their own state assessment that would still have to, that would still be assessing those kinds.
So do you feel that you're going to be able to provide the support for that state test?
Yeah.
Should it change?
And I can be more broad in the state and just talk about the state assessment in case that were to kind of change or whatever. I can reference that. So just to give you a little bit of background as well. Eureka is a not-for-profit organization, and in the background information, I mentioned Engage New York. So the state of New York won Race to the Top Dollars, and they kind of developed this math curriculum that Eureka Math has now partnered with them. So New York, as a result of having Race to the Top Dollars, had to make their curriculum public. And so we had used it a lot over the years, even as we were developing our scope and sequence and getting ideas for lessons and that. But they are no longer obligated to keep their updates posted to the public because they're not using those Race to the Top Dollars anymore. So Eureka is this non-for-profit that kind of partnered with then Engage New York, and they're kind of keeping it updated with that. So that's why we've kind of transitioned now just to Eureka in this. So if you can look at that cost page for a second. A couple of things. So the math online subscription is called the Navigator, and I made a little note on the bottom. If you want to do a multi-year contract for that online subscription, it would reduce the cost, but I'd rather just do 1 year and see how much teachers are accessing it. Mm-hmm. The great thing about it is as they update their curriculum and make changes, whether it's to assessments and things like that, it's then immediately accessible through that online teacher's manual, and they've been great about notifying us of those updates. Geneva had adopted Eureka Math, I think it was during their second year. They only did it 1 year, and then they didn't renew their subscription for the Navigator. And they just felt like teachers really weren't going there. They had downloaded everything and that. And so we kind of want to wait and see, are teachers actually using it, how much? And we may find that certain grade levels need it more than others, so we can adjust. So it could be a renewable cost. We want to wait and see. So that's kind of there. And it's 56 teachers. It does not include our dual language Spanish teachers who teach math in Spanish. The materials are available in Spanish, but only print materials. They're not on that Navigator. I forgot to mention, too, the Navigator does have a lot of great built-in PD, and that's one of the advantages of starting with it that first year is we're getting people comfortable with it. So that's why you see the Spanish print version there, kind of all on its own and separate. And it rolls up to third grade, and so that will always be that print version. The next large purchase is the student workbooks. So one of the things with Eureka is you can literally go on and for free get a PDF of the whole unit, and it includes everything. It's about 400 pages per unit. There's 6 or 7 units per grade level. And we did some of that kind of printing and that for the field test. But we feel like this first year, just to try to coordinate that printing and copying, we don't want teachers to have to worry about it. We just want to go with the student workbooks. Again, we'll assess teachers to find out. Some of our teachers may find that kind of based on it, they'd rather just print certain ones, whatever. But as they work with it, there might be units that it's more heavily, but we'll know that, and then we kind of plan for that moving ahead because we can get that printing done over the summer. And I'll explain that printing cost that I have in there as well. So then I noted, too, these...
Can I ask questions as we go?
Yes.
On the workbooks, too. Is it one big workbook, or is it...
It's per unit. Per unit. They're like little...
So if I'm a student, I get a little... Every unit, I get a little workbook. Mm-hmm. Okay.
A workbook online?
No. Print.
This will be print. So because there... The stuff that's online, we would have to print and make copies of. The kids don't literally go in and work with it like they do in STEM scopes. This is strictly you would print it and you would do it on paper. It's a lot of paper. I mean, I asked Mike, like, okay, tell me about, you know, like how much extra paper. And he's like, we cannot do it here. Toner alone would kill us. We'd have to send it out. And it is a lot of printing. I mean, I went to a little training and I had to print the manual. It was like 400 pages for one day. Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of PD and background information, and every student workbook page is in there, these sprints, exit tickets, the assessments are all in there. So it's all inclusive for staff. So anyway, these sprints and fluency class packets, the teachers will get pre-printed for a class set of 30, like a whole bundle for every single sprint and fluency. This first year, I think it's important that we give that to them and not ask them to copy and us to be copied. I mean, we could get it copied, but for first year, we thought it'd be easier. Time is pretty important to them, and asking them to do a lot of that and even trying to coordinate it. Because during the field test, we were doing some of the printing for some of the teachers, and you know, it was a lot. And then they wanted 5 pages of this, you know, kind of some of those things. So the sprint and fluency is really working on the fact fluency. It's an important component of Eureka.
But if I'm visualizing this correctly, if I'm a teacher, I still have a PDF available.
You do.
I can send it to my class email list so that they have those flat fluencies pastime.
Yes, you could.
I know.
Yes.
So I don't have to go scan it anymore. It's both print version and the normal workbooks. And I have access to the PDF.
To the PDF. Yeah. And then exit tickets, these are formative assessments that are built in. It's a daily formative assessment within the program, and it was a strength. Some of the things that the teachers who field tested talked very positively about. So the exit tickets would already be printed and copied for them to be able to distribute on a regular basis. So this is first year. We'll get feedback from the teachers and by grade level and even by building to see if that would be a recurring cost. My guess is the Sprint and Fluency Packs and the exit tickets may go away as them needing that. So we'll kind of monitor that. So there is a potential for the workbooks to be a recurring cost. And when we did everyday math, we had workbooks as a recurring cost as well. So we are pretty strong with manipulatives. The manipulatives we're looking for are specific. Well, I wouldn't say specific to Eureka math, but very specific to the Common Core. And K-1 teachers use these things. They're called Wreck and Wrecks, and it's all about base 10, kind of like with the B's and that. Mm-hmm. And it'd be a class set with a teacher demo, and then some number disks and decimal disks. That those were, when they looked at all the manipulatives, would be the kind of the two areas that would benefit the kids having access to as part of the program. So that's a one-time cost, and that would include for dual language as well. They also have this support document called Homework Helper, and it helps explain, and I know parents have struggled with understanding how to help their kids, given the Common Core. I mean, things are just different, and you start talking about partial products and some of that. And so the Homework Helper is a nice kind of daily thing that goes home with the homework that explains to the parents what's happening and through the and how to help their child. And through the field test, we got some good tips from some of the teachers. They took that, they attached it to the practice pages, and sent it home so the parents could look at the examples, and it was an example for the child to remember how to do it, and then it also explained what they were doing. And that's a print copy. They're pretty minimal. They're like $14.95 a piece. So that's kind of a nice, and that's kind of a one and done. We don't have to replace that either unless something would change drastically with the homework, and we can get those updates through the Navigator. So I did put some estimated printing costs with the math because we aren't getting paper copies of the teacher's editions because we'll have that online Navigator. But our teachers, not all teachers, we have some teachers have already been building some smart board lessons in that. They like to kind of have that paper copy to make notes on and write on. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of have a choice to make, and we could go back. The coaches and I spent a lot of time kind of talking about this. They felt that the online subscription and Navigator is the better solution because once you give them a paper copy of the teacher's edition, if there's any updates, you have to remember that they have to use the updated version and things like that, even though it would be notified. But with that 400 copies, we would go through each unit and pull out all the homework, exit tickets, fluency things, and just copy the actual teacher's manuals for the teachers who wanted it and kind of put it into a binder. So we did kind of an estimated ballpark with what we think printing costs could cost for just the teacher's manuals for the teachers. And then that's kind of a one-time investment, and then only if there's updates would we replace those kind of sheets along the way.
Oh, I'm confused, Karen. I thought the daily work for the kids was going to be printed out, too.
The daily work is it will be in their workbook.
Which is
purchasing.
Which we're purchasing.
Yeah. Okay.
That one's we're not printing this year.
We're not printing this year.
That's what you're talking about with Mike saying and all that. It's probably more efficient to buy the workbook.
It is. So, here's the thing. It's like, because they're not-for-profit, they'd love for you to buy their teacher's editions and that. And she was willing to give me a great discount. And, you know, it was kind of like, for all the teachers' edition, only like another $8,000. And I'm like, well, do we just do that? Mm-hmm. But then that remembering to, remember, this is updated now, this is updated now. So we were somewhat hesitant to do that. I mean, we could go back and do it. I mean, part of it is I want to be sensitive to the teachers. And, I mean, time is money. They're and you don't want them spending every free moment at the copier.
No.
I mean, so it's kind of one of those things. And
well, after school, it's not money.
That's true. That's true. So. But
yeah, but they're probably doing something else for it.
No, so it's
all part of the
energy. So that's kind of what we were thinking with not doing the teacher's edition. And once we've got it copied for them, they're good to go.
Yeah.
And like the initial training we're going to do in the half day, we will have Unit 1 ready for them so that they have it to go through. So those PD, that would be this year. Those are set costs because they'll be local trainers. We know those are the topics and the dates we were able to secure, and that's kind of the cost for that there. So so there will be recurring costs, but again, I think we'll get that feedback from teachers and to know, do we keep the online subscription going forward and maybe not by every grade level? And then same thing with the workbooks. And I do envision, you know, sometimes nobody wants to send the workbook home because then if it doesn't come back, they wouldn't have the next. So, you know, the kids will tear out pages, and, you know, they're not the best at tearing pages out of books at kindergarten. But, you know, we used to have the parent volunteers who come in the beginning and help teachers separate those workbooks and kind of things like that. And they might be perforated. I don't know. Hopefully they are. But
that's
okay.
A couple of weeks, first 2 months.
So that's the math, the kind of the cost associated with it. Like I said, at our next meeting, some of the teachers who participate in the field test, as well as the coaches, will be here kind of talk through it, and they'll share kind of their actual kind of their feedback and their thoughts and some of that.
So, Karen, I just one general overarching question. And so, this program, the way you explained it to me, I'm just trying to make sure I got it right. The teacher has a paper workbook. The kids will have daily booklets. Right? And there'll be paper take-home cheat sheets for the parents or
the
whatever.
The homework helper explains how to help with the homework.
Okay. And so it's paper. It's paper-based.
There is a lot of paper, although there's some... there's the PD in that for teachers, but
yeah.
There's also some things that I think are helpful for parents, too, to kind of give some background information.
Yeah. But predominantly, the day in the life of a math...
will be more paper-based than... Right.
I guess I'm. What pops in my head is we're trying to move technology to, and then now we're going back to paper. I don't know if we're going back to paper.
We're just not moving on with technology.
Yeah, we're not moving on with technology.
Well, teachers are using the technology through the lesson, and they still kind of pull it up, and they're PDFs. And I think it's a not-for-profit. They take our feedback. We're like STEM scopes. The kids can actually log in
write
and type take their tests and things like that.
Right, that was helping me build building blocks for
big ideas.
One-to-one technology, and every kid has a laptop.
So Big Ideas, which is what the junior high uses, they have theirs. I mean, they still do some workbooks at, I believe, 6th grade. That's the grade level. I'm looking at Colleen. But they can access theirs online as well.
Well, that for me, I mean, I think you're going to see, I mean, you know, we have the picture of a six-year-old, you know, and, you know, I think there's a difference between picturing an eighth grader
mm-hmm.
or someone in high school versus a six-year-old. And so
you're okay with
workbooks. Yeah, I'm okay with workbooks, and I'm okay with not working for one-to-one technology, so because I don't think we need it. So it goes hand-in-hand for me, especially at the lower levels. So, you know.
Okay, so let's kind of switch gears to Lucy Crockett. This is a little bit more straightforward because this is truly just...
Karen, I'm sorry. I have one more. And I can comment about this in a regular meeting, but there's a paragraph in here, and I... When I was first on the board, I said I wouldn't vote for any program unless we put clear definition into what we're trying to accomplish. And I know this paragraph where it says we will monitor math data, park math data, as well as common assessments for each unit to determine if Eureka Math is helping to close the achievement gap between grade levels, between schools, and between subgroups over the course of the next 5 years. I appreciate that in that we're trying to look at it, but to me, I still struggle with that part of it because I think, what does that even mean? I mean, closing, well, you know, to me, I could say, I'm in sales, and I could say, well, I want one more sale a month because I'm going to adopt this system, right? So I need one more. If I don't get one more, the system's not working. So for me, or I could say generically, well, I want my sales to go up.
So
to me, I hope my sales would go up, but I need to know how much they're going up. So I still struggle with that paragraph because it's kind of getting there that we're going to look at it, but I'm sure you're looking at it anyway.
Well, right, but I think what we would do is take it back to the target set in the long-range plan.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay. I mean, I think we'll finalize, and then maybe I can be more specific.
Absolutely.
About that. Done.
I think that will answer your question.
Okay.
Can I add one?
Sure.
On that topic, not on that topic. You put on here, on both of these, both literacy and math, which budget you're coming out of.
Mm-hmm.
So you roughly have $86,000, $87,000 coming out of this year's budget for the math, and then $37,000 coming out next year. And that's because when you're purchasing it, in your budget this year?
Becky let me know I had about $130,000. So the goal is to use as much of this year's budget as I can to cover these costs, but it won't cover everything.
Burn that fuel.
Now, Becky, just from from the way I look at it, I mean, if you have $140,000, can you just move it forward?
No, I know.
Yeah.
That's the reason the state mandated that.
You recognize the expense when you cut the check.
So that's why you're trying to.
I've been told
that. That was what I initially
said. That's a whole other conversation. I'd love to have
it. See, I'm going back. That's why I asked the question the way I asked the question, because it's when you buy the product that you have to expense it.
Correct.
It's not that she has to use it. It's that we need to buy it now, so it has to be initially.
Right.
Okay. That was why I asked the question the way I did. That's what I expected.
Recognize the revenue when you
get
it.
Yeah, right. It's what I would expect, but it's really a curveball with that other stuff.
And I went back to this page too. We did. There's another free technology component, Zurn, that aligns to Eureka Math that the teachers found, and it was more of an individualized for certain kids for differentiation. But there's no cost to that, but it will be a tech component that teachers can access. So I think just as a FYI. Okay, so with Lucy Hawkins, and this is literally kind of once it's bought and the teachers have it, because it is just for the teachers as an instructional tool in that. So the reading is right now only available K-5, and writing is K-8. There is talk that reading may be released in 2 years for 6 through 8, but we're really not too sure if they'll come through with that. I mean, she had an older e-book that we had used a lot that was more middle school. It wasn't grade level based so much, so we're hoping she does go back and redo that. So it's pretty explicit there at the elementary writing units come with some mentor texts and that already there. We had a lot of teachers who actually wanted a field test, so our costs aren't as high. That's why they're kind of all over the place, because certain grade levels had more teachers participating than there were. We also included our special ed resource teachers in this so that they can support the kids with that. And again, 6th grade is just the writing. If you'll notice on the PD, so again, once this is purchased, we're done. It's not like there's no recurring costs for the kits or units, and we can access updates online, and there's a whole another set of resources that we get an access code for that helps support the teachers, and we've already been able to put those in folders on Google Docs and that for teachers. So we're building up that for them. But so with the PD,
the author of this is from the Reading and Writing Project, which is out of New York, and they offer a lot of week-long courses in New York. A lot of typically the coaches go from different districts and that, and we basically said, no, we're not sending anybody there. So they will do some on-site, and so these are some estimated costs. I think she told me I don't think I'm going to get any of the August dates. And so we're struggling now because we don't want it to use subs. We want it for the training, and we wouldn't have that many subs anyway. So we've kind of gone back and forth. She was suggesting I have three trainers and break it down K2, 3, 5. But I want all of the ESL teachers trained, the special ed teachers, and all of the administrators trained. So my groups are creeping up there to about 30, 35, and I've got to keep it under 40. I have a couple districts that have expressed interest in partnering on some of these PD days, but if I get over 40, then the costs go up. So I kind of have to balance how many spots that would be and what we could do. And so theirs is like a presenter is $3,500 to $4,200 a day plus expenses. So that's why I've just kind of estimated them for 2 days. I wasn't thinking I would need three trainers, though. So hopefully I'll get more specifics, and I'll adjust those as they come in. And I will be attaching the actual quotes I get from them, and I believe I have almost all of the ones I'm going to get in the app. And I just got the updated one on 638, and it's about $500 cheaper.
I could feed them lunch, too. Donation.
A few dogs and fries.
Thanks, deal.
I'm going with it.
Deal.
I like flips.
So, again, teachers will be here and they'll kind of be able to talk to it. And some of the teachers were talking about coming tonight, but I don't know if they will. I encourage them to just wait to rejoin the board.
I had a question, and I absorb a lot of stuff in the spring from the teaching world. So sometimes I mix it up, and I'm told that often. But is one of the programs, I think it's this one, is there a lot of reading ahead of it?
There's reading embedded into the lessons, yes.
For the teachers.
For the teachers.
For the teachers, yeah.
It's kind of so it's built in PD. It helps them kind of understand what they're doing, why they're doing it.
So some of the comments I've heard is there's a lot of reading.
There is.
A lot of reading.
Well.
So I'm wondering, if I had that, would I do, and this isn't what they've said, but this is what I do. I'd figure out a way not to read as much. So then am I shortchanging it? And I'm just being honest. I mean, if I'm in the middle of, if I'm in October, right, I'm doing Evelyn Wood, and I'm speed reading that. So I then are we losing something because there's so much?
Well, so she gives a lot of information, but then she does her key teaching points, and that kind, and especially for your kind of veteran teachers, I did reference, we grounded a lot of the curriculum we built in Lucy Calkins, particularly first grade was one that was a really tight alignment, so it's not going to seem as foreign to teachers, but she does kind of do kind of those key teaching points to really help them get the gist of it.
So that's your Cliff Notes version?
It's your Cliff Notes version.
And if you're a veteran teacher and you're doing that,
right,
then... You know, I did read a lot of books. So
I will tell you,
my freshman,
we had went and observed.
You should have just read them.
So that was the.
I saw the movie.
Okay.
Well,
all right. But we did go and visit another district, and it was
you
very
can't
new
get away
to
with
them.
That's just it.
But
so, that's my point.
The teacher literally was following it along with the script. So for those that need it, there's a script there. But what we're hoping is that in that PLC meeting, the coach will have pre-read, will help kind of navigate that for them, but your beginning teachers will have the more support that they're going to need.
Okay. That's just what I thought.
And, oh,
good question.
You're thinking a veteran teacher is going to be able to use that, and they're going to be okay with it, and there's nobody skimping on anything.
Right.
So, and we'll get support.
Right. And it gives them that day-to-day focus that they're looking for. Got it. So, okay? Thank you.
All right.
You've got like 30 seconds for paper.
Sorry.
Who wants to do the paper? Is that you, Becky?
Yeah.
Don't sound any more excited than
you.
Yeah, I know. Are there any questions? It's pretty straightforward. We need it. Yeah, that's what I'd rather spend more time on, unless there's any questions with the budget.
Okay, good. Okay, every year thank we you. Did paper, and thank you, Carolyn, for saving us $2,000.
I thought it was actually.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was better.
So the budget timeline. Yes. This is again a work in progress because of our year that we've had with the transition, and then we really have how many more? Three,
four, five
more.
One more meeting.
Days with Becky, and then more. Cheryl transitions May 1st with us.
But not in the calendar sequence.
Yeah.
Beyond and off. Yeah. So you get us through 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yep. So, take it from there.
But you will love Cheryl. So, it's been a strange year, as Dr. Gordon said. And I think you as a board, you as an administrative team, Dr. Gordon, should be congratulated for, and I should say thank you for your patience for not having everything done that needed to be done, but we've done a lot.
We've done a lot.
Actually, it'll be 91 days. So during April, we continue to build the budget. In fact, the entire budget as it sits today, and we're all reviewing the building budgets, and everybody here at the administrative office is reviewing the budgets to make sure that my data entry was correct. And so it's all in Skyward. The biggest piece that I have concerns about is still continues to be the revenue. The conversation out of Springfield continues to say that they are going to do something to reallocate state funding, which means they're going to call it the Robin Hood theory, rob from the rich and give it to the poor. And I hope it doesn't happen because I've
just posturing.
You're probably I agree with you 99.9%, but some days you just never know what's going to happen down there. So the revenue is a little iffy. Cheryl will have a better handle on that during the month of May. So you can see that she's going to continue between now and June to update the budgets and bring you a presentation and adopt the tentative budget in June. And then you will adopt it in September. So it's a different timeline than you're used to. And I would see that this timeline is a one-year-only transition piece. And everything will move forward from
there. Do we have a copy of what you're writing as assumptions are on these budgets? Or do we have assumptions, reviewing assumptions?
Well, the assumptions are what we talked about when we looked at the financial projections. And I believe that you were... Did we forward the updated long-range projections to them?
Expense.
Yeah, revenues.
And yeah.
And we're tracking pretty closely with what they had projected for the 16-17 school year. We're just waiting on to hear what comes down from Springfield. And I would agree with you, Kurt.
So this sounds to me like this is the time where, from a finance discussion, that we would probably want to add our assumptions to those non-contractual expense items, right?
We would like to say
10% less on snowblow budget.
See? Yeah, you'll still have that. You'll still have that opportunity.
Dave's the gazelle.
Put that.
We can.
The team has the opportunity to. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's big.
It is. So one of the things that we're going to give to you. It's really working with Cheryl and Becky. What's the right time? When do we? Because I really need to get Cheryl deeply involved in the budget now, because she'll be taking it from here forward and really giving you that broad perspective of where are all of our numbers coming in at right now. What are we seeing for that 16-17 school year? So you're able to say, wow, that's seeming, from the purchase services, seems like we're pretty high in purchase services or whatever it may be. So you'll be able to see that. And then we'll start giving you more of that detail, all the stuff that from all the staffing that Lori has been able to give you guys over the last couple of weeks, and then we'll get into that purchase services side of the house as well. What are the things that we're looking at? for instance, Karen, in all of our curriculum pieces, where's her budget coming in at? What does that look like? Because that's really what you want to be seeing. Or is that, are those budgets?
Yes, but it will it be, do you want the cold water before that those numbers come? Or?
But remember, what the big difference we're doing this year is when we're adopting the budget is going to be much later than we've adopted in years past.
Yeah, we could put the cold water on.
Absolutely. We are not trying to avoid that conversation at all.
I know what Patrick's saying.
I do too. But I want to make sure that Cheryl's involved in it and that you guys have that.
She has to be.
And that's why you'll notice.
Well, that's why there's the delay, right?
Yeah.
That's why you're moving.
That's the September. Because we generally would have the tentative budget, you know, that first, second week in June, and then right when you guys get back in August, you would be approving it. And actually, this is pretty normal for most school districts to approve late.
When Cheryl was on a slow trip by car to Oregon, and when before she left, I gave her about this much paper, which was the budget at every level, and I had done it in.
Yeah, right there.
Written narrative of how I got to those numbers, so that she would at least be prepared. I think.
Now,
so when you get bored, you can read.
Now, just
double sided.
Relative to what was done in the past, right, you're doing more in Skyward now.
Correct.
Than
correct.
In the past.
Which is going to be a huge benefit.
Moving forward.
Yes.
Because that's what we were lacking in the past, is we really weren't using the systems we had at the district to help us do this thing. So every time a change was made, like Patrick, you'll remember, it was like other changes weren't following through because it wasn't done in the system that we paid.
It's a great way of summarizing.
So Cheryl moving forward will have that. And, put
and that's how Cheryl's been working too. That's how Cheryl has always worked.
She has the expertise.
Yes.
Okay.
That won't be something new.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I know that was something
but you will definitely... Finance Committee will definitely get that opportunity to look at that overall budget. It's just a little bit later than it was last year. Probably by about a month and a half.
Okay, so we got 2 minutes.
Yeah. So we good?
We're good.
Thank you. Into this.